Okay. Recorded and started, and we're going. Oh, here's the button. And then we'll start hiking. Like a crazy guy. I decided yesterday that I could, at least I would try, to walk to work in the morning. Try to get the exercise in, you know. So, that's what I'm up to. I've got to go at a pretty fast clip. Last time it took me about an hour, just a little over an hour, to get the walk done. And, about 5 miles, so I do about 5 miles an hour, which I guess is good. Seems pretty stiff to me. We'll see how we do on day two, which is always traditionally among the worst days. The first day, your body isn't really, you know, feeling it particularly. I think the second day is when it really kind of says, oh man, he isn't giving up. So, anyway, so this is my second walk after, last time I took these morning walks, the very end of April, just before I moved to Catala. My last day of work was my last thing here. I got my walking stick with me. If you hear that tink, 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 that's the walking stick. Mostly made to here to fend off whatever critters come after me. Lisa was just talking about reflexively like that, so we got to consider that for the future. Oh, how we're going to handle this business. Anyway, so the first part of my walk is along a reasonably busy road. But once I'm off of that, I rarely see another car again. When I get into Catala proper, anyway, I'm kind of running up against some self-appointed deadlines. And I need to, what it really gets down to is, unless I can get them all accomplished, I need to be a little more selective about what I'm doing. There's one I should be able to knock out pretty handily. Which is an abstract leading to a presentation next month on for the Technology and Education Conference in Albuquerque. It's happening in mid-November. Right now it's October 8th. I need to have my request turned in by by the 15th, today is the 8th. That gives me 7 days to pull things together. But same time, I've got to determine if there's a class I'm in the middle of. I could easily put that class off until after the first of November when I start a new term. I don't want to get overcommitted. Also, I'm working on my Shetland project. And I've got working goals every month. I call them the stakeholders, although I don't think they have much stake in it right at the moment. I want them to get a stake in it because I want it to get accomplished. So this month, I want you at least to have something in place I just need something to report. Thinking today about the data structure of it this morning. Mostly about roles, the roles of those who participate in the program. You need to give roles where a variety of people can be involved in it. Now we want to be somewhat social. Of course, the most important aspects of it are Shetland dialect speakers. So that we get the inflections, we get the pronunciation. Not according to, you know, perfect diction type things. We want it to be natural. That's the great thing about a dialect. You can't do it wrong, but what you can be is you can be not a natural speaker of it. And in that way, it's unauthentic. And you don't want to do that, you know. You don't want to just make kind of a mockery of the whole thing and say, well, this is the proper way to say it, and then we all get, you know, locution classes. The proper way it's to be spoken. It is in its very heart. Respect for the way people talk in the Shetland Islands. And there are different, you know, there are different flavors of the dialect, depending on which island you're from, which district you come from. You know, just like any place else. And one wants to record that. And in the recording of it, it's obvious. I've always felt, and this is going to be a repeat of something I've said before some months ago, but so much is invested in Shetland as a place. In the tourist guide, it doesn't talk so much about the Shetland people as it talks about the birds, or the sheep, or the dogs, or the ponies. Although these are all very interesting things and encourages certain types of visitors to the island to vacation. My purpose is to focus on the people, their stories, their lives. We record their memories as they speak them. We also try to get it down in a written way. There's a gentleman whose name now is Luke, who made quite a study of this and worked on the written form as a form of preservation. I wanted to continue that tradition. Once you write it down, you write down the words and as much as you can, the particular inflections, the way it sounds to the ear, you propagate this. And I hope I make no secret of some of my goals out of this. Number one, it's about family. I think it was nearly 12 years ago. It was nearly 15 years ago when I was working for the Child Care Training and Technical Assistance Program. Which is interesting because I have always been and continue to be a proponent first of family, mostly mothers, providing for the care and education of young children. And then other family members. That's important because I find family culture most important. And then after that, some kind of family-based child care if people are just far away from their families. In a modern society, that happens a lot. You can't just live easily next to your, you know, in the same town your grandparents did. There's just not enough opportunity left often to do that, unless you lived in a big city to begin with. Let's see. I called it family culture and how important this was. In modern times, or in more modern times, it's less tied to place than it used to be. Perhaps, you know, it really depends on your socioeconomic status. Those who can move about and take advantage of distant opportunities, their connections with their family won't be so much place-based. You know, when people say, oh, we've got to build up our community, and you go, communities are going away. It used to be that you would be born, live, and die pretty much within the proximity of the same place. Now that's mostly only true, at least in the United States, for, you know, those who are trapped in poverty. And therefore, a sense of a community isn't even very pleasant. Because it ends up being a sense of being trapped. At least I've always felt that way. I can imagine other people don't feel that way, and thank goodness. You know, that being close to home ends up being kind of an indictment of your inability to do anything more. I know I feel that way sometimes. So the concept of the community being anything besides just a happenstance or circumstance. You get a job in a place, and you're there for a few years, perhaps, before you move on to somewhere else in pursuit of something, whatever you choose it to be. And, so having your morals, the way you conduct your life married to a place can be a little tricky. And I think that this server system but it acknowledges the fact that people move on. But that one still wants to retain ties to family, to the place perhaps where they grew up, to a wonderful experience or people or places where they have been in the past, the experiences they had there that have affected them, perhaps even changed them a little bit, that these things can be done. But mostly it's about family. That's why what we really want, and that's why a Shetland dialect really connects as a family thing. We get our language relatively early on, and by and large that stays with us. We may pick up some local colloquialisms later on. Like, take me for instance. I was born and lived until I was nearly 8 years old in Southern California, so I tend to have speech patterns that can be identified with Southern California. Now, I've picked up a few things like y'all and things like that that have come from other places I've been. and but those things, especially when we're young, have a lot to do with what defines us. And so I would say that those, with more of a Shetland accent, more of a Shetland dialectic perhaps, but that's what stopped here. You don't have to be living in Shetland now. There's no time age for when you can be, you know, when it's appropriate. We tend to focus on those who grew up in Shetland, even if they have since left. And the whole process of putting this repository where people record their stories, remembrances, might even write books and such. Or read some books. You know, this is this is important. At a place where I had to stop. When I stopped walking, I stopped talking. Weird, huh? Should go the other way. Please don't hit me. Thank you. Alright. Just kind of, I don't like talking to these people. Please don't hit me. I stopped. So anyway, I was starting to think this morning about roles and what we do. It doesn't always have to go by the same particular workflow, but it tends to. So much so that giving it a little structure is a good thing. For instance, you know, the most envisioned way is that, you know, somebody goes to an old timer, or at least that's a picture in my head. Grandma, perhaps. And you make a recording of her. I think we need to be careful that these recordings are not overly long. Although we don't want them to be too short either. I don't know if the TED Talk standard of 18 minutes is appropriate. But something along those lines. I used to make recordings so that they could sit on a floppy disk. That's really antiquated these days. But something not too long for the storage thing. But to make everything based on it. Of a workable size. we don't want somebody to record 2 hours of stuff, because what we call translations of it, well, first a transcription, then a translation, these are all, you know, so they're reasonable. And the workflow goes that you make a recording, so someone has to speak the dialect to do it. It says, and for those who don't live in Shetland regularly and are not infused with it, we encourage them to make their recordings while they're on a visit to Shetland, or after listening to several recordings, just so I can start bringing back their natural speech patterns, I guess. Anyway, so you record these things in dialect, then someone transcribes them. This is probably the trickiest part of it, is doing the transcription in in the established form as much as it can, so it can be written. Then we do a translation, which is taking the transcription of the recording, rendering it in what I call standard English. And then having somebody read that written translation, and that becomes, you know, the final piece. Now, our system, the computerized system, needs to accommodate a certain amount of variation. And I guess that's where some of the social media aspect of it starts to kind of dribble in. Each one of these recordings kind of starts an object, or whatever founding document has, starts that thing, whether it's a written piece, whatever form that comes in. We don't need to be picky about it, but we need to have some preference. I would prefer to have Shetland words, be the main thing. I don't want us taking like Shakespeare. I don't particularly want this. I don't want to take any shakes here and trying to Shetlandize it particularly. Although if that happens, one doesn't stop it from happening. Of course, it goes in reverse direction that way. The translation is from Standard English to a Shetlandic dialect. And then somebody reading the translation. Anyway, this becomes one artifact. Now these artifacts can, depending on the interest in it, can grow, you know, there's a preference system to say if people prefer one translation to another, one transcription to another. So maybe that aspect to it. But these things will all be kept together in one. And you know, there will be places on the website to indicate work needing doing. Indicating popularity of certain artifacts. And pieces of artifacts. We need to have roles. So it's going to be an individual role. These roles can change over time. Although I think we need to have some kind of mechanism for establishing the adequacy of those roles. You might end up losing a role if it's found that you're just incompetent at it over time. In the beginning, we've just got to be grateful for what's there. Any given recording or writing can be redone. Can be you know, different. It's not a sense of different versions, because versions mean that it's superseded, and there's not going to be any sense of superseding except by ratings. There can be a rating of a person doing what's been done. If somebody does a transcription of a recording, and that person has a role as an established good transcriptionist, then, you know, fantastic. We need to come up with systems to handle those things ultimately. So it has to be weighed over time, you know. In the beginning, we're grateful just to have people that are willing to do it. But over time, as we get more and more people get involved and do these things, people will tend to get, I guess you'd call it a reputation. Now, you can always submit work. That's rule number one. Work can always be submitted. If there's been 20 people that have done a transcription of one recording in the past, there's always room for 21, or 22, or 23. And, so, it's absolutely no problem. The system allows for a lot of this. For space saving, I would think that we would need to we already need kind of a transcribing system that will allow us to like take a recording. Somebody records it at some huge monstrous recording level. We have to render it down to, either 8 or 16 bit. 16 bit's great. I record all my stuff at 8. If you have good enough equipment, 8's okay. But 16, I think, is probably the best. So, I think that would be a minimum standard, at least 16. And then when you upload it to the server will automatically render it down to 16-bit. Mono. And, of a good level, you know, it needs to be MP3. And, then we start, this process. So you have several roles. One is just a participant, because a participant can record whatever they want. And, then we have, how do you say it? Then we have transcriptionists. Kind of a thing for what you can do. So you know, there's probably an initial questionnaire to say, you know, are you actually using the dialect? There needs to be some people that do those kinds of determinations. We want to make heavy use of pensioners, retired people. to do a lot of this. I've always kind of hoped that who would be doing the recordings would be like children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But this really ends up being almost kind of a family history sort of activity. Multi-generational work being done. People coming together, you know? If there is going to be a sense of community in places where, you know, your best and your brightest tend to leave to chase opportunity, you want to have circumstances where I got off the train of thought. Sorry. Anyway, so fishatlantic.info, a little bit more on it. The whole aspect of role. How people are, and how we will determine what's appropriate for people to be. And not speaking in dialect isn't necessarily the issue. It will be a determination of whether you are closer to standard English or whether you are, you know, speaking dialect. Not to discount what's being recorded. But just to know that you know certain people can contribute in certain ways. Like take me for instance. I am not a resident of Shetland, nor have I ever been. And in that being so, okay, I'm finally off the busy road. Things will get much nicer. Third Street's great. It's made for, I don't know what it's made for. But I've got a nice, huge lane to walk on. And so, not a problem for me. So anyway, for instance, a person like me, I can record standard English and I can probably translate written dialect into standard English, or at least attempt it. You know, attempts are perfectly fine. We acknowledge attempts. Duly putting in, especially the written ones, plenty of space for lots of writings on the subject. And of course, all kinds of opportunities for people to learn more about the dialect as we go back and forth and try to settle on what is the proper rendering of the English the, or it's usually da, da, you know, whether that should be dha, what's the most important thing to do to try to render an exact phonetic spelling, or whether we want to just establish a standard knowing that that how people say it is how people say it, how it's rendered when it's spoken. You have to be prepared to accept that reality. And so yeah, I was pondering roles this morning in relation to this, and what kind of philosophy we're going to interject here, and the whole thing of constructive feedback, that we're always trying to help people to better fill the roles that they've chosen, and to encourage them to take on new roles as they're willing. That was the most important thing. We want people to continue contributing. We want to honor all contributions. This is never going to be a huge project. Shetland is a small place. Those who would answer for dialect speakers are getting smaller. I can see expansions of this project being not just the preservation of dying languages, but of their promulgation. That's really what we want to see. We don't want to lose these things. These things are important. These things help to define us. It becomes part of our identity, our family's identity. It answers that basic question, where are you from? More than anything else. If you've got an Irish accent, for instance, that says something about you. You are either from Ireland, or you have enough of a ancestry or connection to it that you speak with that dialect, that accent, or however you choose to put it forth. And that these are important things, these senses of identity. As a person who was born in one place and probably half raised there, and then went to some place completely different, even though both places are part of my ancestors. Born in California, where my paternal great-grandfather migrated to as he was leading a young family. Well, when my paternal great-grandmother, who I never met, was, I actually met my paternal great-grandfather. So, I was born and raised in that circumstance. My parents were living with them, with my dad's grandparents, when I was born. You know, it was a an opportunity. And then we moved away. We moved to where my mother's family had come from, which is here in eastern New Mexico, Clovis area. And but yeah, you know, I struggle sometimes for a sense of place, kind of straddling two different places. That's going to happen, in, you know, invariably. And anyway. For somebody like me, who doesn't have much of a sense of place, it's important to discover one. I know that Shetland isn't much of, I don't recall having a particular connection there. Except that I thought it might be certainly a change from what I was accustomed to, which is the great American Southwest desert. Although, honestly, I'm not really in the desert. I'm in the plains next to the desert. And Shetland was about as distant as you could get. Plus, I spent some time offshore. And I enjoyed the sea, and I live a pretty fair distance from the sea here. Water is not a very big feature of this place. Anyway, except when it floods. The palace has a flooding issue. Anyway. Okay. So I'm not quite to my destination yet. So there it is. And yeah, I don't ever perceive this to be a particularly big project. There's just not a groundswell of excitement over it. I certainly do not want it to be just kind of a museum preservation. I want it to be a promulgation. In doing these things, I think we can find people that can find Shetland a worthy study. From the beginning, it's always my thought, my original master's degree idea, before I decided to take the easy route, which is what I've done, is to take an IT master's, because it's something for which, you know, it ends up being just a certification of things I already know, as opposed to a learning thing. My first idea was to go into anthropology and into what's called cultural anthropology. You know, not the branch that's called archaeology that goes and digs up bones and stuff like that. That's not very interesting to me at all. I'm grateful for those, but it is very interesting to me. But yeah, cultural anthropology, which has to do with language, although I guess if I run too hard on this, I hope it will be a great resource for linguistic anthropology. But So I don't consider myself a linguistic anthropologist particularly. I don't know if even I would probably still continue, I know it's funny, to seek some kind of an honorary degree as opposed to a research and publishing one. Because my thought is, I want to hear the stories because I think they'd be excellent fodder for writing. You know, you always need subject matter to write on. Now, it may only be subject matter that's even remotely interesting to a Shetlander, and whatever diaspora there is from that, although I leave the thing open that I would like to do some scholarly work on the subject, perhaps. I don't know if that would translate into something that approximated dissertation, perhaps. I don't know. It's really kind of up in the air. Oh. So, I think I need to get a move on. I thought I walked there. So, anyway. I can feel the blisters on this one foot. I'm going to have to look inside this shoe and try to figure out what's rubbing these bunnies. Get it out of there. Let's cover it over or something. Mold thing. Anyway, so. We'll see what happens. See what becomes of it. I'm particularly heartened by people's willingness so far. I find it interesting. There used to be a program in Orkney and Shetland studies, and I guess somebody determined that it was just too narrow a field, and that there was only a little smidge of marketability for it. And in that way, they opened it up into island studies, which has to do with little places and doing little things. And I find expansions on my project, it would be just as easy to drop in Pitcairn Island or other island groups that have developed in a distinctive way, the Faroe Islands, stuff like that. It would be very easy points to take the same system that I'm developing here, simply switch out Shetlandic for, you know, Faroese, perhaps even someplace big like Iceland, Icelandic. Retaining those things. So, anyway. I can see that happening, so the Center for Nordic Studies, which a lot of these places, well, that's the place in Shetland. That, I'm probably going to end up having a lot of interface with for a larger project. But let's not talk about that too much yet. Let's work on making it a good system for our one use here. We can find other outlets later. And anyway, object-based systems. Because that's what these things are in the end. It always starts with one root artifact and its expansion. And that anybody who's interested should be able to make some kind of contribution to it. Even if it's somebody saying, I take it and I turn into French because I am a Frenchman. And you go, okay. Because that's, you know, I don't know how many Francophones, you know, have a interest in Shetlandic preservation and promulgation particularly, but you know what? You know, that's the whole thing. Accept contributions of whatever is there. Now, in the standpoint of what's that going to be useful for, is anybody's guess. I think we're going to have a board ultimately that starts to de-emphasize things and some kind of system that, if no contributions are made to something for a set period in favor of preservation of server space, we'll do that, and that can always be adjusted over time. It seems like storage space is a really cheap commodity these days, and one shouldn't be, you know, against one should be reticent to throwing anything out for the simple reason that chances are, storage capacity is going to be the least resource to worry about preserving. I think the biggest resource to preserve is people's continued interest in sharing. So, and in contributing, being a part of this thing. Our biggest requirement is, or our biggest need is always going to be in getting more raw material to work with. We're going to have a decency board. I think we want to mix it up with authenticity, though. You know, we don't want to get weird, but we also don't want to drive people away because this thing becomes a garden of just uploaded jerkiness or smut or whatever. We need to talk about community standards. So, there was a good window and they took it out in favor of something else. Yeah, looks like it may have at one time been a duplex. There's a stoop over there and they turned it into a window. Otherwise, it's got a lot of don't expect to take one of the back windows out and put something a little less crappy in there. South Avenue G. Avenue G, A, B, C, D, E. No, D. South Avenue D. D and 3rd. Okay. So, yeah. So I can already foresee a problem. I need to have a decently spelled out decency code. You know, I retain the right as the owner of the service. Till such time as I give that ownership up to somebody else to determine what's acceptable and what's not. So, same thing. I'm doing this other hand to work out. I need to give my left hand to work out too. You know. So it doesn't just fall into the trap of being some kind of weird file server. Because that'll destroy it right there. If it's not monitored enough. If there's going to be profanity allowed, it has to be under the auspice of being very, very Shetland. Some old guy comes on, and he records something that's so dialectic that can hardly be understood, except for the fact that he peppers every fifth word with shit or something. That could be found acceptable. And yeah, and you go, well, is that fair? And you go, I'm not gonna sit here and I don't do fairness. I don't do, you know, I might do a little bit of that, but you'll be surprised how little. From the standpoint of, you know, Shetland's important, it's just some kid getting on there with some kind of weird Blarney accent. And I think it's weird to be older than Shetland. I exercise full authority over content. I get to get whatever lieutenants I wish. And make whatever determinations I like. On what concept is acceptable and what content is not. You don't want that to be out there, particularly. So we have to make sure that whatever don't make these kinds of fights public or things like that. We let people know that these things are for public consumption and they should abide by community standards. That's part of in Shetlandic as well. You know, is not that you are, you know, it is not a forum, particularly, for politics or anything like that. Although that's a definite aspect, one cannot avoid the fact that people from a place are going to be political. But I don't think we're going to particularly, you know, promulgate ideas or things that are made to be necessarily divisive by their nature. There are plenty of forms, like I always said to people who say, if you disagree with what we do here, there are any number of forums available, or you can create your own. This is, one shouldn't think that because I choose not to take this or that, or accept these things, that I'm not allowed to be, it's like a free speech zone and stuff like that. I said, no, it's, you don't have to be. There is other forms, and you can even begin your own, that have nothing to do with this. That this is anthropological, it is not political. It is not a political forum. So, regardless, I'm nearly at my destination. I'm going to have a sense here very shortly of where we are, time-wise. So I'm talking into this thing. Should be only a little over an hour, maybe. A little longer than what I normally do, which is around about, it's almost exactly an hour. But, I find myself harking back to the old BDS stuff that I had been working on how to handle things like, you know, you're not being an appropriate venue for dissent. And you go, I don't have to be. I don't own the common, you know, I don't, this is not a common place, this is a place put here for a specific reason, and any other agenda trying to be put out there, besides the agenda of the preservation and promulgation of cultural artifacts of mostly a cultural and linguistic nature. It just is not germane to this. There are plenty of other forums for things. This one has a specific purpose, and my number one purpose is no one shall be driven away from making a contribution to the goal. So here I am. I'm walking on campus. Pleasant campus. Boy, these guys really wet this thing down. There's always grass. It's always quite nice. Oh. for people who want a small yet traditional college experience, I think you should find a place to do it. You know, but consistent with the way New Mexico tends to be. A little bit laid back, not flashy, but, pleasant, but purposeful. Anyway, so, oh boy. Excellent. Oops. 7:30.